Ain't nothing quite like a summer night down at Lake Lanier. The water's smooth like glass, the moon rippling across the surface, cicadas humming in the trees. Folks laugh and splash, boats drift easy, and the air's thick with the smell of fish and gasoline from them jet skis tearing across the lake. But when the sun dips behind them, Georgia pines, when the water turns black, something in the air shifts. A boy once told a tale, swore up and down it was true, about how he was swimming out near the old Lanier Bridge when he felt fingers wrap around his ankle. Cold, strong, pulling him down. He kicked, thrashed, screamed, but something beneath the water wouldn't let go. They found him gasping on the shore, eyes wild, hands shaking. Said when he looked down into that murky water, just before he blacked out, he saw her. A woman in a blue dress floating just below the surface, her face pale, her eyes dark pits, her arms stretched out like she was reaching for him. Ain't nobody dared to tell him he was lying, because plenty of folks round these parts got stories about Lake Lanier, and not one of them ends well. Welcome to Kentucky Melodies, America's Scariest Stories, where we bring you ghostly legends, spooky haints, and bone-chilling tales from all over this great land. These stories will have you looking over your shoulder all night, so pull up a chair, dim them lights, and let's dive into the eerie and unexplained. Tucked up in North Georgia, sprawled out like a black bottomless hole, Lake Lanier don't just sit, it looms. It stretches near 38,000 acres. Its waters hungry and deep, swallowing up everything that once stood beneath it. By daylight, it might seem still, just a big old basin of water. But when the wind dies down and the surface smooths out like glass, it starts feeling less like a lake, and more like a looking glass that ain't reflecting the world above, but something else entirely. Ain't nothing natural about what lingers under them murky depths. Back in the 1950s, the government come in, talking big about progress, saying how they needed to build a hydroelectric dam. Claimed it'd be good for Atlanta, good for power, good for flood control. What they didn't say, what they didn't care much to talk about, was what'd be swallowed up in the process. Whole towns, whole lives. They come through with their surveyor stakes and eviction notices, telling folks they had to clear out, that their homes, their churches, their schools, their histories, all of it, was going to be wiped off the map. Some packed up and left, but plenty didn't want to go. Weren't long before the bulldozers come, tearing up the land, knocking down buildings, leaving whole communities to rot before the water even got to them. And then there was the graveyards. Now they claim they did the best they could, say they went through digging up graves, moving markers, trying to make sure them that had been laid to rest weren't disturbed too much. But let me ask you something. How you reckon they found them all? Some of them bones had been down in that dirt since the Civil War, since before the ink dried on the Declaration, since long before any surveyor's pen ever scratched out a map of Georgia. Whole family plots where time had worn the stones clean, where names had been forgotten, where roots had tangled up with ribs and femurs and old wooden coffins. So, when the dam finally shut, when the water started crawling up over the hills and filling the valleys, when it rose up slow and patient, swallowing roads and forests, pulling whole towns into the deep, you really think they got every last body? Or did some of them stay put, trapped under the silt, settling under the weight of that dark, drowning water? That's right. The bodies. And a lake that big, holding that much history, that much death, It don't stay quiet. Ain't never stayed quiet. Ain't just one ghost in Lake Lanier. No, sir. This place don't hold just one restless soul. It holds hundreds, maybe more. Folks around here say the whole place got a curse on it. Something woven deep into the water, into the land beneath. It ain't just the drownings, ain't just the wrecks or the vanishing folks. It's the feel of the place. The way the air changes when the sun dips low. The way the water don't never feel quite right when you step into it. Some say it started back in 1912, long before a single drop of this lake existed, when the town of Oscarville was wiped clean off the map. Wasn't no natural disaster that took it, no sickness or famine. It was people. A thriving black community. Folks with homes, with farms, with businesses, was run out by violence. Mob come through, set fire to houses, took what they wanted, killed who they pleased. The ones that got away, they left with nothing. Their land stolen, their history erased. And decades later, when the government come deciding this was the perfect spot for a lake, the water rose up and took what was left of that town. But the past? It don't drown easy. Fishermen been out there before dawn, sitting quiet in their boats, waiting on a bite, only to see figures standing on the water. Not in it, but on it. Dark shapes, motionless in the mist, just watching. More than one man has cast his line, thought he hooked something big, only to feel the weight shift, like something tugging from below, harder than any fish should pull. And when they look over the side, sometimes the water don't just show them their own reflection. Sometimes it shows them someone else. Dark eyes, empty faces, people that ain't supposed to be there. And them graveyards they say they moved? Well, plenty of folks reckon they didn't get every last body. They talk about cold hands brushing past their legs when they're swimming, feeling like something grabs at their ankles, pulling them under, holding them down just long enough to taste panic. But even them spirits from Oscarville, even them nameless dead beneath the water, they don't send the biggest shiver down folks' spines. No, sir, that'd be her, the Lady of the Lake. Been stories about her since 1958, when two women, Susie Roberts and Delia Mae Parker Young, went driving down that old Lanier Bridge, laughing and carrying on, till something went wrong. Their car veered off the road, flew into the black water below. For a whole year, there weren't no sign of them. Then one day, a fisherman found a body, bloated, twisted, hands gone. Couldn't tell who she was, where she come from. Then, in 1990, something else come up from them depths. A rusted-out Ford sedan sitting at the bottom of the lake all them years, holding the skeleton of Susie Roberts. Which means that first body, that was Delia. And some say she never left. People driving across Lanier Bridge late at night say they seen her. A woman in a blue dress, walking the roadside, her hair dripping wet, her face pale as the moon. Sometimes she steps right out in front of their cars, eyes black as the deep. The ones that try to stop, try to help, say she vanishes before their very eyes. And the ones that don't see her in time, they say she just stares as the car passes through her, like she knows who's next. Them that live to tell it don't never take that road alone again. Now, I reckon you might sit there and say, ah, that's just old ghost stories, just folks spinning yarns. But let me tell you something, numbers don't lie. Since 1994, over 200 people done drowned in Lake Lanier. That's 200 souls lost, and that's just the ones they counted. Some of them bodies turned up, some never did. Ain't like it's a stormy sea, neither. Ain't like these folks was caught in hurricanes fighting against raging waters. No, sir. Some of them was just swimming. Some of them was sitting in boats on waters, so calm and still you could see the trees reflecting back at you. Then, gone. Boats capsized for no reason, flipping in water that shouldn't be churning. Lifeguards tell tales about strong, invisible currents, pulling swimmers straight down, like something beneath the surface got a grip on them. But it's the divers that got the worst stories. Them that go down in the deep talk about seeing whole forests still standing beneath that water. Trees with branches stretched out, like they reaching for the surface, like they trying to climb their way back to the world of the living. Ain't just trees, neither. They seen roads down there, bridges, whole buildings sitting silent in the dark, swallowed up and forgotten. The past don't die. It just waits. And sometimes them divers say it ain't just trees that reach for 'em. People that been in that water before talk about feeling something brush past their legs, something cold, solid, like flesh where flesh shouldn't be. They kick and twist, but there ain't nothing there. Least, not that they can see. But some don't get the chance to tell the tale. Some get pulled down and never come back up. Others say, if you stop paddling, just tread water real still. Let the silence settle round you. You might hear something. Not the lapping of water, not the sound of boats in the distance, but screaming. Ain't no echoes on a lake. No reason a voice should come from below. But there it is, muffled, twisting up through the deep. A sound that ain't got no air to carry it, no lungs to make it. And if you stay out too long, if you listen too close, real late at night, you might hear something even worse. Not screaming, not crying, but laughing. A woman's laugh, light and sweet, floating just over the water, right before something cold wraps around your ankle. Ain't hard to find folks who got their own tale to tell. Maybe they saw the lady in blue on the bridge. Maybe they felt them fingers in the deep. Maybe they know something they ain't never gonna speak out loud. But what about you? If you ever found yourself standing at the edge of Lake Lanier, feeling that warm Georgia breeze on your skin, watching the water stretch out dark and still, would you go in? Would you step into them waters, feel the cold creep up your legs, let the dark close over your head, even knowing what might be lurking just beneath you? Or would you stay put on the shore, heart hammering, listening close, watching the tree line for shadows that ain't supposed to be there? Would you keep your ears open for a whisper, for a splash that don't belong? For the sound of laughter drifting low across the lake? Maybe you got a tale of your own. Maybe you heard something from kinfolk, or you been out there and felt something cold grip your ankle when there weren't nothing there to grab you. Tell me, have you ever had a run-in with something you can't explain? Ever seen something in the water that shouldn't be there? Drop it in the comments, share your story, or just let me know. Would you take a swim in Lake Lanier? Now, if you made it this far, reckon you got a taste for the eerie and the unexplained, the kind of stories that keep you up at night, listening for sounds that ain't supposed to be there. But don't stop now. There's plenty more haints and horrors waiting for you right here at Kentucky Melody. Ghosts that don't rest, curses that don't break, towns that vanished but left something behind. So go on, if you dare, click the next episode. But be warned, once you start down this trail, you might not find your way back. And if you hear something whispering from the dark while you listen, don't answer back.